talking about demons. What are the demons?
Voices.
Tell me about them. What are the voices about?
It's another voice, the evil side.
Jeff, whatever your name is, Satan.
Everyone, welcome back to Evil Examined. We are here in the building, Big Daddy Bass, yep. Back in the house.
Hey,
what's up, Daddy?
He'll be joining us today for the odd news segment. You're also in the lead, I believe, for the guest of the year Evil Examined poll. For the moment,
I'm hoping I can pull the win. We'll see. Eddie's like right behind me.
Always, well, right?
Have you voted already?
I have not. I'm waiting to like the last day of the poll.
Just don't vote for Eddie.
Yeah, I have not. So I have that in my back pocket, just like my vote left. And I know Eddie scalped a few of my votes and had him vote for him instead.
Oh.
Yeah. So like I pay attention right in
some
the beginning.
Some switch-siders, huh?
So I know Eddie had some people flip, including himself. Because he got voted for me, but then now he's voted for himself, and he got credit to vote for him, too.
Well, if you guys are fans of the show, and you're fans of Daddy Bass, then you need to get on the Facebook page, Evil Examined, because we're voting for all the different guests of the year. So they'll all be there, and then you'll see probably whoever wins the trophy. We'd take it like an Instagram video to put up on the Instagram for Evil Examined. So the birthday bash is the 29th. Fucking leap year, dude, so we can warp into a new future.
That's pretty cool that you did it on that the 29th.
That's kind of came out right.
Yeah, it just happened.
It's fate, as they would say.
It's kind of like it's your birthday, too, a little bit.
Is it? Why?
Because your birthday is like right after that.
Oh, that's right. That's
you guys two birthdays.
And what was the other thing? It'll be at the Guild, right, in Pawtucket from 5 to 11. I believe most of our guests will be there. Listeners are welcome to come, even if you don't drink. And it's the Guild's a brewery, but even if you don't drink, we'll have a table reserved with some food, I think, and just regular beverages. And you can spin the wheel of doom like we brought at Scarecon, maybe win some stuff. I've got some new magnets with artwork from the Pizza Face book that are being printed up as prizes. Plus, there'll just be other random prizes that have nothing to do with Evil Examined or anything, just cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to be super fun. So if you're in the area,
that's the Guild, 461 Main Street, Pawtucket, Rhode Island.
And then, the next housekeeping item, fucking awesome, is, we did confirm the table for TerraCon, which is cool. Cause me and Brian, and I think Gene and Katie, we've all gone to TerraCon previously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just mad fun. You and me did the first one by ourselves.
Yeah, and we had a blast. Actually,
it was super fun.
We spent so much time just doing, you know, looping it. It was really fun.
Remember they had the Coney Island Freak Show there too for that one.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
Was there a bearded lady?
No, there was some weird woman though.
Yeah, it
was who like hypnotized people and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's going to be all kinds of cool shit. But the coolest thing will be there with the table, and you could get on Evil Examined. You know, live, dude. You know, that'd be nuts.
Fuck it, we're doing it live.
Fuck it, we'll do it live, yeah. And then I'll be, obviously, on the 29th at the Guild, we're releasing the Pizza Book, the Pizza Face book. It's available for pre-order on Kindle. I think it's $1.49 is what I settled on. Very, very reasonable.
That's quite reasonable.
11 illustrations, including one done by Katie. That's really cool.
Even if you can't read, you enjoy those pictures.
It's true. Yeah.
And then it's available now in paperback, so you could actually just go on Amazon. And I think this one's, I added an extra dollar than the other ones because I had to invest a lot in the artwork. So it's like $12.99 for the paperback.
Still a steal.
Yeah. That's Pizza Face people. And come check us out at TerrorCon. Get your tickets. You can go to www.evilexamine.com under the events page and you see all this information and any other events we're going to be attending. Are you guys excited?
Hell yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because, okay. So you sounded very like a creature, you know?
I like this, dude.
I couldn't tell if you were saying, oh, yeah, or all right.
Oh, I just wanted both of them at the same time.
You went for it. I like it.
Wonderful.
Why said a what one?
But, okay, so, yeah, I've got a few different odd news stories today, so why don't we just get right into the odd news. Okay, so first story, it's kind of, actually, we can maybe point back to our Lords of Chaos episode 3, because this one kind of has a tinge of that in it. It's about a Louisiana man who's facing 70 years in prison for burning down 3 churches in the last year in a bizarre attempt to build up his reputation as a black metal musician.
Oh, what? Man.
What do you know about black metal?
He's such a poser. Copycat,
right?
Black metal. Is that like kind of like the Lord's Chaos, like where they dress up all crazy and do crazy shit on stage?
Yeah, and they usually do like corpse paint and all that
the
stuff.
The music is completely terrible and shit. Yeah, I've heard it before.
Some of it's
cool. I actually like Burzum, that's beside the point of what this fucking douchebag. You know what's funny is that you use the word poser. And if anyone has seen the Lords of Chaos movie, if you haven't, first of all, it's fucking awesome. I loved it. I know Katie watched it, right?
Yeah. I love Rory Culkin. All the Culkins, really.
The Culkins.
But the really a big premise of the movie is about posers, right?
Yeah.
Actually, the whole movie is centered around people like, oh, he's a fucking poser. Like, he's not real. He won't really kill this motherfucker. He won't really burn this down. You know what I mean? And so it's funny that you call him a poser.
Well, Katie did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been called a poser?
Oh, shit.
Me?
Yeah. Or just...
I think I've been called a wigger before.
That's kind of the same thing, though.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. You know?
That's fucked up.
Back in my hood rat days.
Well, I imagine, like, nobody ever called you a poser when you're, like, rapping and stuff back in the day. Like, this wild boy can't rap?
Not really. I got pretty good respect, I mean, yeah, for the most part. But then again, I wasn't really, I mean, it's not like I was in fucking 8 Mile or something, like... Yes, I did battle rap outside the Burger King in Seattle.
You were okay. Square Mile.
But that was, yeah, square mile.
Spaghetti.
Yo, you guys fucking nonsense today, huh? This is amazing. What? Are you spitting beer up again?
What's going on my nose?
Ravioli.
Did they ever call you a poser, Gene?
I've been called worse. That'd be a compliment.
Yo. Well, anyway, the 22-year-old Holden Matthews has admitted to burning down 3 churches in St. Landry Parish, Louisiana, to, quote, promote himself among fans of the black metal, a subgenre of heavy metal. The son of a sheriff deputy, Matthews, reportedly wanted to mimic the church burnings carried out in the 1990s by Norwegian black metal musicians as a crusade against Christianity.
Matthew. You notice cops' kids are always crazy,
right?
Like,
well,
not always.
Remember, we covered the case of Michael Woodmansey, who, you know, from Rhode Island, he killed the boy and ate him on our first episode back in like the 70s. And his father was like, they didn't catch him until he tried to kill someone else. People think it was because, you know, the son of a cop. You know,
it's like my dad's a lawyer kind of thing. My dad's a cop. He kills people.
Yeah, if my dad can kill people, so can I. Although this guy's just burning churches down. But
with nobody in it, right?
Yeah, there wasn't anybody in it, thank God.
Oh, okay.
Praise the Lord.
That's me.
But Matthew single-handedly set fire to three churches using gasoline and oily shop rags in the middle of the night over the span of 10 days. Holden Matthews, this is a quote from FBI Special Agent Brian Vondren. Holden Matthews made a conscious decision to randomly target and destroy churches within his own community. His atrocious actions inflicted severe pain and grief upon these congregations, as well as the St. Landry Parish. After each fire, Matthews would go online and brag about his actions to the other black metal enthusiasts, sending videos and photos of the arson to his friends, accompanied by black metal song lyrics and album cover art that the acts inspired him to create. Like Varg Vikernes, one of the high-profile Norwegian musicians arrested for burning churches in the 90s, Matthews planned to use a photo of a church burning as a cover of his next album for his band, Pagan Carnage.
Oh, shit.
Check them out, guys. Pagan Carnage.
Plug.
You know, like, whenever you take pictures of fire, they never, like, really look as cool as you want them to, though. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. That's
maybe on your phone they do.
But have
on
you
your phone?
Yeah.
You have to put the camera in the fire. That's why. it looks
definitely
Ill.
Look cool.
Yeah. Sorry, I was taking a sip of beer. So it says, listen to that sound, dude. It's beautiful, he said to one of the church's destruction in a video message he sent to a friend. There's absolutely nothing left, my dude. After being arrested by his father's sheriff department, 22-year-old Holden Matthews admitted to the three arsons, claiming that he had only done it to, quote, raise his profile as a black metal musician. Although there were allegations of a hate crime, as the three burned churches were frequented primarily by black people, Matthew's federal public defender, Dustin Talbot, stressed that his actions were not racially motivated. Talbot claimed that his client only targeted the churches because they were made of wood and it would burn faster.
It wasn't because he liked black metal?
Mm. Oh.
Yo.
Why, are they playing in there?
It was a bad joke.
Wouldn't that make him a bigger poser? Because he's not letting his music raise his reputation. He's letting some bullshit action.
Yeah, but they say, like, oh, the music is the reality. You know what I mean? You gotta watch the movie. You gotta watch the movie, dude.
I guess I do, yeah.
Anyway, that fact was later confirmed by one of the accused messages to a friend. And he had committed the acts in a naive attempt to use images of the fires to gain acceptance into the online music community. What do we think, guys?
Stupid. Idiot. Like, how old was he? Do you know, by any chance?
I think it's 22, yeah.
Idiot.
No such thing as bad publicity.
Well, he's facing 70 years now.
I was going to say, you know, the next album, Pagan Whatever, coming out in, 1 to 70.
Right. The difference is that in Norway, this fucking guy would definitely get out of jail. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about this a few times, just the murders,
Aren't the prisons, like, very nice and comfy and shit?
I don't know much about the prisons, but I do know that they
have coconut water running through the pipes there.
That's gross.
Yeah.
What is it, just a little bit less, like more lenient, I guess, over there is what it is?
Way more.
Okay.
Well, because we covered the Anders Breivik thing, and it's like, he killed like 68 or 70 people or something, and he ended up with like 40 years or something.
That's
like
insane.
That. Like, it was like literally less, not even a half year a person. It's like, or like about a half year a person, something like that. It's
ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But yeah, that's our first story. This next one, I know you're into the otherworldly, the people above in the sky, right?
Yeah.
So this next one is called Evidence of Abduction. Okay. Are any of you guys familiar with Terry Lovelace?
Is that a porn star?
Good guess.
No. I already said this is a story about UFOs.
Oh.
But Terry Lovelace claims that he's been abducted by aliens, but there's a catch. Can you guys guess what it is?
They're illegal.
No, I give one more guess because that one was.
Damn, I just wasted that guess.
They didn't like the way he smelled. I don't know.
No, they can. The catch is that he can prove it.
Oh.
Yo. Oh wow! No way.
Yeah. Wait. Do you guys? How do you think he could possibly prove it?
He has pictures.
Not quite.
Video. Although
it does involve a phone. Wow. All right. Well, let's get into it then. Terry, who authored the book "Incident at Devil's Den," is a USAF, that's United States Air Force veteran, and a former Assistant Attorney General for the U.S. Attorney of American Samoa. This isn't the only time that Lovelace claims to have weird shit happen to him. Back in 2012, he had an X-ray done of his right leg, which had gone numb during a run. And this is a quote from him. "An X-ray of my leg above my knee discovered an anomalous bit of metal. The radiologist was sure it was a man-made object about the size of a fingernail with two wires attached. He pointed out it resembled an RFID compute device. He also noticed a collection of foreign objects below my calf muscle. He went on to insist on an examination of the leg scar tissue, insisting that the only way these objects could become embedded in his leg would have required an incision. He said, it's impossible to breach the integrity of the skin without leaving a scar. There is no scar. I asked, doctor, how often do you find a foreign body underneath the skin without a corresponding scar? He thought for a moment and replied, never.
Whoa.
What?
I have a foreign body in my leg with no scar.
What? Yours was like a piece of glass, right?
It was a needle, so, I mean, that makes sense because it was so small and sharp.
It probably went right into the pore.
Directly.
Right? You fuck around with needles earlier? You fuck around with needles, girl?
So you gotta tell me?
I never clean. Told you this before, but I can sew.
Yo.
And my pants have been ripped for fucking weeks.
That's right. Crazy. So did they remove those foreign objects?
Wait, was it real?
They removed it, yeah.
What was in it? Did they know?
Well, there's more. There'll be a little more revealed here. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag right away, so to speak.
Okay.
I'm excited.
You excited?
Yeah.
This is cool, right?
I want to know what the fuck.
You guys having fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's more beers in the fridge if you want some.
Navoy.
Feels like we're just hanging out. That's cool.
This tastes weird.
Oh, did you get a skunked beer?
I think so.
Yeah, that's fucking gross, huh? Yo, don't be taking no more of the good ones.
Give me the skunked ones.
You're already drinking a skunked one, aren't you?
Probably.
Yeah.
I can't tell.
She can't tell the difference, dude.
The coronavirus.
All right, so this discovery gave rise to horrific nightmares, spontaneous recall, and intrusive thoughts, all of which surrounded the 1977 camping trip to Devil's Den State Park in North Arkansas.
Sounds like a cool name for a park.
And that's the book that he wrote was about his experience in 1977. Because of his standing in the legal community, he kept his story a secret for 40 years.
40 years?
Yeah, yep. I mean, like, he would lose his job.
And so it says, this secret was about he and his friend Toby seeing a triangular UFO during the camping trip back in 1977. Also, back in 1966, Lovelace claimed that he had seen a UFO directly overhead near his house. Is that a Guinness? Just be careful, because that's going to fucking... It might shoot off. Like, is it a Bass or a Guinness? Yeah, just be careful when you open it. Don't, like, put it near a screen or something.
Thanks for the warning.
All right, so let's see. Before that, in 1963, he claimed to have seen a mask-faced monkey man.
What?
What?
What does that even mean?
Mask-faced monkey man is what he referred to them as.
It's like a hairy man wearing a mask?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's what he says. Who appeared one night in his bedroom and wanted to play with him. So, Brian, if a mask-faced monkey man came into your bedroom, would you want to, like, play around with them, too, you think?
No, I'm like, yo, get the fuck out of here. I'd be like, what the fuck's going on? This guy trying to take my booty hole? Like, you know what I mean?
Has anyone ever just shown up in your bedroom while you're asleep and, like, disturbed you?
Just you, but...
Listen, we weren't going to go back to, you know, rehashing all these shit.
But no, not normally, no.
All right. Is that a true story?
Don't worry about it.
What's your take on the mass face monkey man?
It's fucking weird. What else can I say about that?
I mean, like, this guy sounds like he should be credible based off of his, like, job history, right?
So he's saying mask face, so it's like, that's how it looked like a mask?
That's what he's saying, but...
Oh, strange.
But yeah, so it says, to elaborate, in 1966, as a young man in St. Louis, Missouri, Lovelace had witnessed a brushed aluminum appearing disc-shaped flying object directly overhead near his house. 3 years later, Lovelace had been plagued at night in his bedroom by the mass-faced monkey men that were begging him to play. It says it would be years before Lovelace would make the connection between those two childhood experiences.
So they could talk then.
So those are two separate experiences, right? So he had that one and then the one in the park in 77 with the overhead UFO.
That's weird. Maybe the aliens were in disguise of mass face men.
Yeah, so he had the in 63... That's when he saw the mask-faced men in his room. In 66, he saw the UFO directly overhead, back near his house. And in 77, in the camping trip, that's when him and his friend claimed to have seen another triangular craft. It says, these experiences prompted Lovelace to write a book in 2018 entitled Incident at Devil's Den. He believes that he was abducted by aliens and was tracked by them since childhood. Apparently, he believes that he's still being tracked and now claims that he has proof that he was abducted by aliens back in April of 2019. Mm. So here comes the... Now, this is the proof part of it, right?
The money shot.
It's pretty interesting. When I read this, I was like, yeah, we got to cover this. This is cool. So it says, for perhaps the first time in history, a man claims he has electronic data proof that he has been abducted by a UFO. He was taken from his bed in Dallas, Texas, while his iPhone was in his pocket. And his cell phone health activity app records that he had been... the health activity app records... Why am I fucking this up? Yeah, so the records in the fucking phone app basically said he was transported 60 feet above his house in less than a minute.
What?
Like, wait, like in like the stair levels? Is that like what?
So check it out.
That's weird.
This is what he said. I was taken April 16th of 2019. That's a side picture. Any UFO guy? I don't know.
Some redneck.
I was taken April 16th of 2019, and I actually have empirical evidence to prove it. He explained that he sleeps with his cell phone in his top pocket of his t-shirt and listens to orchestra music. Fucking weirdo. On April 16th, I got up at 5:55 a.m. completely exhausted and out of breath, though I thought I was having a heart attack and called an ambulance. At the hospital, I was given x-rays and an EEG, which showed that I hadn't had a heart attack and that I was fine. He explained that his activity phone app records, which record how many steps he takes, but also the stairs. And if I climb 6 flights of stairs, for instance, it will show a stair step in the app because the bottom line impacts the time, where the horizontal index represents distance. Health app is Terry's phone recording elevation, so the flights of stairs. And it says that it showed a horizontal line going straight up between 5:23 and 4:24 a.m. According to the phone, I climbed 6 flights of stairs in less than 1 minute. I took it to the T-Mobile phone store. I asked the guy, what does this mean? He told me, the mobile says that you were 60 feet above the house at 5:24 a.m. Terry told the interviewer, Dean, My house has no stairs.
60 feet of stairs, huh?
Wow.
So that's pretty crazy, huh?
That's pretty interesting.
Right? Isn't that like a weird thing? It has like screenshots of the health app. Like it shows the fucking...
Yeah.
Like I look at that every once in a while and I feel like it's always off for the flights of stairs climbed.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just threw your phone straight up as hard as you could and somehow caught it...
It's not going 60 feet, you know what I mean?
Unless he's strong as fuck.
He looked weak as fuck.
The phone was smashed, definitely. Unless he cashed it.
What if it was attached to a drone? Does it, like, go...
Ooh.
Well, okay, interesting. So...
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay.
Terry responded to skeptics like Katie and critics who were suggesting that he might have strapped his phone to a drone to obtain some of these app readings. And he said, I don't own a drone, and I have never operated one. I have no other proof than my word. I do have medical bills that document my ambulance ride and the hospital stay for April 16th. If I hoax this, it was a costly venture. Also, for what, really? I mean...
But he did write a fucking book, too, so maybe he can, you know...
Yeah, maybe he's working on the sequel.
Maybe he's like the other guy that burnt down the churches. He's just trying to promote his book through
the UFO community.
Oh, my God.
He's trying to get big.
Also, Terry answered critics, like Katie, who suggested that because he revealed in the Alien Live interview that he'd written a motion picture script of his experience, that he was just a fraud out to make money. And he said, I've made my money. I worked very hard over a lifetime, and I've had a very good career both in the private practice and in public service. I don't need to sell books or cash or a movie script. He added, the two-year-old iPhone 6 has been through diagnostics, and he will make it available for scrutiny under reasonable conditions. The lady at Apple who ran the diagnosis said the health app measures height by chance in barometric pressure. She was confident about its accuracy. It's not measured by GPS. That has a margin for error. It doesn't show that I ever climbed downstairs. Hmm. It says that would not have registered as steps taken since I was descending a ladder or opposing gravity. My phone shows that I took zero steps at 5:24 a.m. I only traveled upward. My descent, absent body movement, would simply not register. That's how she explained it to me. I'm no engineer. Fucking, that's for sure. So what do you guys think? Is this guy a fraud, or do you think he was fucking abducted and that this is irrefutable evidence?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'm still going back to that implant with no scars.
Pretty cool, right?
That was never explained.
And well, he actually has like his own website. Like that was kind of a side note of the story, so I didn't really like dive into that. This was more about the 2019 experience.
Yeah.
That stuff was more for I mean there are cases of stuff coming out of people and they can't identify it, right?
That happens to all of us often.
Well, but look in the toilet. What is that?
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, no, like undefinable metals and shit. You've seen that before, right? Mm-hmm.
But they're saying that the thing they found had fucking two antennas coming out of it, like
wires. Yeah.
Two wires. Like, all right, is that human technology or something else? Like, once they removed it, couldn't they check it out? Or reverse engineer it?
I think he claims that the people he had look at it couldn't fucking say what it was.
See, that would have been the major evidence there. Take it to the experts, like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
Explain it.
Yeah.
That's pretty creepy, cool. though.
I find it interesting.
It's a cool concept, though. You know? Like, I wonder if our own technology will record, like, weird happenings, you know?
Are we getting like a radio signal?
Radio signal every 16 days?
Right? Every 16 days, yeah.
Yeah, I seen that on the.
What the fuck is going on with that?
I almost covered that too. I'm very intrigued by that.
I am too. I wonder if they can decipher it.
Reoccurring signal from a distant galaxy every 16 days.
You guys think it's the Monkey Man?
Maybe.
No.
Maybe they're listening to our podcast right now and they're just sending, like, yo, you guys are awesome. Imagine.
But I wonder what they mean by a radio signal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what does that entail? Like,
WH01.
It's so vague.
Yeah, like, you mean, like, what's actually being transmitted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really dive into that one, but maybe we should take a look at it at some point. You know?
Yeah, because I feel like you should be able to, I don't know, in my head, I'm like, if it's radio, I feel like you should be able to listen to it, and there's, like, a sound associated with it, right?
Yeah, once they figure out the frequency, maybe they can hear something.
Maybe that's one for next week. Maybe we can cover that.
Yeah. I like that.
Right?
I
think Manila. It's cool.
But we got one more for the odd news for this week, people.
Yeah.
I wanted to give a shout out to the Strange Dimensions website. It's really cool. If you guys haven't seen strangedimensions.com, you should go check it out. Like, if you like this show, you'll certainly like this site. It's like, it's well built. It's a lot, I mean, in a sense, it's like our site a lot because there's no like advertisements on it whatsoever. It's just the content.
That's cool. You know what I mean? I always like that better.
Yeah, there's no fucking shit in the way. You're just experiencing.
I hate when you see that shit pop up and you're like, man, I don't want to see this right now. You're like, get the fuck out of here.
It's fucking annoying, dude.
I do. I am not a fan.
You click on a story, they're like, oh, subscribe if you want to see it. It's like, fuck you, guy. This shit's the internet, bro.
Right.
I Googled the same shit and read it on a different site. Like, do you really think this is going
to
work?
I hate when they split it up into like a slideshow and you have to keep clicking just
Oh my God.
That's so the worst one.
Yeah. I like it, like you said, like you just go to the website and you look at the content that's there, nothing else is popping up, asking you to do this or that.
It's... Yeah.
Well,
fuck commercials.
Yeah, fuck commercials, dude. Well, on the Strange Dimensions website, I saw a post up by a guy, I think he runs a site, his name's Rob Schwartz, and it was just a really cool, I mean, there was a lot of cool articles, but I want to read this one directly from his site, because I just think... it's cool. It'll give you an idea of what's on there. And I just thought it was... The story creeped me out a little. So I thought it was cool. But it's called, I'm Sorry, Robert. Hundreds apologize to cursed doll after viewing photos online. So he says, a couple years ago, I noticed something peculiar happening in the comments section of one of my articles. It all goes back to 2013 when I first posted about Robert the doll. This, if you don't know... is a strange tale of a seemingly ordinary doll that allegedly holds a mysterious curse. These days he can be found locked behind the glass at Fort East Martello Museum in Key West, Florida. Behind him is an array of letters pinned to the wall, each containing an apology for having crossed him in one way or another.
What the hell are they doing to the doll?
Apologizing. Yeah. His curse... at least the way I've heard it, is a rather simple one. Before taking a picture of Robert the doll, everyone must first ask permission. If his head tilts, permission is not granted. And if permission is not granted, or if the person fails to ask for permission at all, the individual will be cursed. Allegedly, this curse involves severely bad luck. One example can be found over at TripAdvisor, by a reviewer who managed to snap not one but three photos of Robert without asking permission. Afterwards, his camera stopped working, and all of their photos that they'd taken in the Key West disappeared. And wouldn't you know it, when he got home from vacation, he began to hear strange noises during the night. At any rate, many of those who feel cursed end up sending apology letters to the museum, which end up getting pinned to the wall. The idea is that in doing so, Robert will have mercy on them and lift their cloud of bad luck. In some ways, this is similar to the curse of the Uluru. However, while the rules of Robert's curse are simple and based mostly on direct contact, in the past few years, it seems to have spread onto the internet. Or at the very least, those who dare to research or read about Robert the doll online aren't taking any chances. Like the letters sent to the museum, they've left comments online containing their own apologies. And that's what brings us back to my old post. I'm sorry. The first comment on my article to apologize to Robert for nothing more than reading about him online was a post on February 21st, 2015 with a very simple, I'm sorry, Robert. More commenters would follow, some with a terse apology, others with both explanations and pleas that the cursed doll not turn its fabricated eyes toward them or their loved ones. I'm sorry. I viewed pictures of you online and read your story. Please forgive me. Matt, April 22nd, 2017. Robert, I'm sorry. I didn't ask your permission. I was just learning about you. Please forgive me. Ted, May 8th, 2017. Dear Robert, I visited you in Key West. I was so honored and amazed. Please cause no harm upon my family. I was curious about your history and was interested. I'm very sorry. Lauren, January 28th, 2018. Sorry for reading about you and looking at your photos online. I mean no disrespect to you, Robert the Doll. Please forgive me. Joseph, September 17th, 2019. All told, over 200 comments have been left on that post, most of them apologies, but there are far more out there. In fact, we might have to upgrade that hundreds to thousands. It seems everywhere someone has posted about Robert the Doll, be it in personal websites or YouTube. People can reach it. People can be found apologizing for viewing his pictures and doing even the tiniest bit of research. And yet, despite all those apologies, I'm unsure if anyone has actually been cursed simply for viewing photos of Robert or reading his story. His curse, after all, involves taking a photo, not looking at one. Perhaps one person decided to apologize and others just followed to be sure. It's a fair bet, a cursed doll's version of Pascal's wager. Or perhaps there's more to this curse than I originally thought. I guess I'll leave that one final question. I guess I'll leave you with one final question. Have you apologized to Robert lately? If you'd like to read more about Robert the Doll, you can go, check out his original post. Lastly, he just turned 115 years old, by the way. Oh, and just one more thing. I'm sorry, Robert.
Yo.
I come home today. He's like, do you have an eBay account? It's like, yeah. It's like, I want to get a haunted doll. Like, nothing really scares me, but fucking dolls freak me out.
They're creepy, dude. The porcelain ones, especially.
Well, about that, I put in a bid on a haunted doll. And it's because of this article. So I wanted to do something for Evil Examined, like a live experiment. I recently took a penny off a witch's grave, and nothing seemed to come of that.
What do you mean nothing came of it? I can give you a list of all the bad shit that happened.
I did get diarrhea. That's fair. But
you got that. Which is
what? What do you mean?
Well, that's a story for another day. But
did you lick your fingers?
No. I want to know more about this.
Well, all right. We may be releasing a bonus episode in the next, probably like in the next couple months, of a trip to Maine that we went to stay at this allegedly haunted hotel. On the way there, though, we found in the town of York, there's a witch that's buried there in a very strange grave. And we actually took some photos of the grave. It looks really weird. Like, she's got, like, bugged out on the grave and shit. And I found, like, a quarter and a penny on the grave. And I took the penny to see if something would happen. You know what I mean? So,
like, who does that? Like,
I can hear my mom's head
just shaking her head at you.
No.
Well, I'm all right. I mean, so far, I had some diarrhea. Yeah.
What? I feel like there's been lots of bad things that have been.
Didn't you have bad luck today?
Yeah.
I did have real bad luck today.
Yeah. And you're covering the story and shit. Like, and what have you cursed every single listener right now?
Well, I'm the doll that I found online. That I got one more thing to read to you guys. It's fucking creepy as fuck. That's why I bid on it. Like, it is, it's gory too, which is weird.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So, I mean, guys, let's take a look.
I deal with the shit. bring that shit over here, Aaron.
No,
into the house.
I already deal with the shit back in the day.
So the headline on eBay read, and it was for $14.99. I bidded $20 on it, so we'll see.
Oh my god!
There's no other bids on it though, but there's 9 watchers, which is kind of pervy. Feels weird. Shit. Haunted Doll Active reads the headline, Evil Spirit Vessel. Because I was seeing a lot of them. They're like, oh, it's a friendly spirit, you know. No, this is a fucking evil spirit, like a malicious spirit. It says, she's dangerous, buyer beware. I mean, sure, this is probably like a business for some people. You know, they just put up posts about dolls. But we'll see, because there's a picture that was with this post. Sure, it could have just probably been downloaded from online, but... All right, let's just get into it.
Get into shows.
So this is the woman. She's left a couple updates on it. She goes, I purchased her as a collector's item. I took her out of her box to look at her, and then I placed her back into the box. From the box, I heard scratching noises, but ignored it. I didn't think I'd purchased a possessed doll. With so many evil entities in my paranormal collection, one must have attached itself to the doll. The next day, the box was empty, and I couldn't find the doll for an entire day. The next night, she reappeared in my closet, and that's when I knew there was something terribly wrong. The feeling I got was pure terror. My eyes started ringing, and everything blurred. I left her in the closet. The terror was too much to even take her outside. I dreamt of her, and in my dream I asked her who she was, and she told me her name was Ruby, and that she'd passed away in the early 2000s. Someone smothered her to death with a pillow. I then woke up gasping for air. She is a young girl, very pretty, maybe 20-ish. In another dream, she told me that she killed 3 people when she was alive, but was never caught, and won't kill me. What terrifies me most is when she told me in this dream that she wants to take my body and will. She said, no one will ever know it's happened and that she will live through my eyes. I've been taking protective measures and I've been taking protective measures and hope you will too to prevent anything bad from happening. I need to get rid of her. I find her in random places in the house. She likes to wander the halls at night. I found her in the hallway more than once, and I've heard her foot, and I have heard the footsteps in the night pacing the halls. Another night I was alone in my living room and fell flat on my face. I couldn't get up for an hour. I don't fall randomly, and I'm convinced Ruby did that to me. Again, just another warning. She has made it very clear she wishes to find a human vessel. I don't want to be possessed, and I'm taking measures to prevent anything like that from happening to me. I've fell a couple of times, and I've been hit by sudden sleep attacks. Not sure if that's her way of trying to take over, but I'm not taking any chances. Then there's an update.
Why doesn't she just take her to Savers?
then there's
fucking
an update.
Burner. Yeah. Destroy it.
This is the most disturbing part of it, though. There's an update on February 10th, 2020. So just a few days ago. My boyfriend stepped on live wires in the living room that could have killed him. He went to the emergency room that night and had burns so severe he needed surgery. Burns that are worse than third-degree burns are all over his foot. Ruby was in the living room when this happened. And again, I really think she did this. I put her in the closet and somehow she appeared in the living room. And this happens. Photos are blurred because the wound is really gruesome. You guys want to see the photo?
Yeah.
Live wires in the living room?
The fuck?
Ugh. Is that the doll's foot?
No, that's her boy's foot.
Ooh, that's gnarly. Up.
It just looks.
Do you see the hunk missing on the heel?
Oh, yeah.
Take a close look at that. There's a fucking hole in his foot. You see that, right?
And you thought to yourself, I want this in our house.
Wow, yeah, that's like a big ass chunk.
You see that? That big chunk missing in the foot?
That's
disgusting.
Look how swollen it is, too.
It's nauseating.
And it didn't happen to the lady who bought the doll and brought it in the house. It happened to the other person living there.
Because she doesn't like him. She likes her, and she wants to steal her body.
That's why I'm going to befriend her first.
Yo.
I don't think she'll want... I think she'll want my body. Just saying.
Yeah. She's going to make you step on some shit.
So, we'll be getting the haunted doll. Hopefully. We'll see if we win the bid. Those
fucking games, this guy, yo.
I swear.
What, you guys think that's too much?
Well, we're going to find out. And Katie's dead. Yeah. Yep. Or possessed. One or the other.
I'll probably just turn into like a life-size doll.
My mom was right. My mom was always like, "Eso blanco tan loco."
Is that white racism?
Yeah, that is mad racist. But
shit. What do you call it? We'll find out for sure. But yeah, what do you guys think about Robert? He's pretty cool, huh?
Oh, yeah. Robert, huh?
Yo, sorry, Robert.
Sorry, Robert.
I ain't playing with that.
So, guys, go check out Robert. You know, if you want to do some apologies, actually, just by listening to this podcast, you might owe him one.
Yo.
And that's what we got for this week on the odd news. It ended a bit unnerving, to say the least.
So when do you know if you won the doll?
When is
the bidding over? Yeah.
Does it tell you on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it usually tells you how many days are left or hours or whatnot.
And what kind of piece of shit will try to sell a doll that's cursed?
They warned.
It's four days, 1 hour.
Okay.
If she knows it's that bad, she wants to give that curse to someone else. What a bitch.
So on the... On the
19th, gotta pay those medical bills.
On the 19th, it'll be the day where you find out.
We'll bring the cursed doll down to the guild and put her there near the pole so you guys can say hi. And otherwise, she'll be in the podcast room all the other weird shit we got.
Fuck.
Watching us
each
day.
I really don't like dolls.
Put it behind glass so she doesn't walk around.
Oh, I wouldn't give her glass.
Oh.
Probably fucking cut you open with it, you know?
Yo.
Yeah, maybe get a safe and lock that bitch in or something. Yeah. And if it's missing from there, you got some problems, bro.
Yo,
lock and key. That's you know, you come home and she ain't there, man.
That's trouble.
You know,
that's trouble.
That's one way to know for sure.
We're gonna find out, right, babe?
I hope you don't get it.
Fuck.
Can you look like she's,
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna outbid you.
Just mail it to Brian's house.
Nah, don't. I'll fucking kill you.
Yo, what if though?
Dolls freak me out.
What if I went to your house, Brian, and then somehow the doll just appeared there, dude?
That's what I'm scared of, dude.
Don't bring that shit to my house.
You don't think even in a backpack I can't bring
it? Don't bring that shit to my house. I'm telling you right now.
What if we?
Can I bring it to Ronnie's and we just don't tell him?
That's okay. That's fine.
Dirty.
Oh, dude, we should give it to John the Skeptic. He don't believe in it.
He don't believe in it. Yes. Yes. That'll be like a nice little test.
Right? Give it to his daughter.
Yo.
She'll start saying, like, the doll told me to do this. Like,
nah.
Yo.
I don't fuck with that shit, dude.
Yeah, nah, me neither, bro.
Like, oh, you gonna fuck with it here? Over here? You know?
I'm too sensitive for that shit.
Yeah. She'll try to take you over, bro. You know what I mean?
I already be walking around.
Oh, coqueta and shit. Like, hi, I'm a Ruby.
No.
Amazing. All right, that was a great episode though. I enjoyed going over the weird stories. We had a nice variety.
Yeah, that was cool. You should definitely try to do that the sound wave thing or the radio waves.
JP's going to be covering the odd news for the next odd news segment. So
gotta do that research, brother.
I will.
So yeah. Probably in like 3 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks that'll be out. But again, we thank you guys for listening to Evil Examine, and we shall see you. Oh, what do we got for next week?
Cryptids, the mysterious, creepy cryptids, cryptozoology
stuff. Ooh.
And we're fresh back from the Cryptozoology Museum in Maine, so and we have a nice big Bigfoot print in the studio now.
Yeah,
so.
Glorious.
We're ready to rock and roll.
What they say about guys with big feet?
That kind of looks like Mike's foot.
Big socks?
Yo.
Is that Mike's foot?
Dude, blasted Mike's foot. Yo, he's out in the woods again.
Ape-ass motherfucker. All right. Well, guys, tune in next week, and we will see you soon.
Peace.
Expectancy. a clue that girl was in that house, or anybody else was in there against their will.